the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Michael Steele, long-suffering chairman of the Republican National Committee, former chairman of the Republican National Committee, and this is the happiest man alive today that he hasn't done to deal with this stuff. Now, I want to just...
He wakes up laughing.
I just want to say this, that Michael Steele did tell us, I think... I'm going to say somewhere around February into March, he goes, this is going to be the presumptive nominee, this Donald Trump. This is what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You didn't look back. As a matter of fact, you even sort of warned me in the fall, both on and off the air, that this is going to happen. And now here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you do last week? I was so sorry I couldn't be on. I was in the middle of travel.
Not well.
And he didn't do well.
Not in good shape at all. No. It was a rough week, Michael, and we did miss you. Because you have a way of talking him off the ledge somehow. He seems calmer.
This is good. This is good. Because, you know what I learned a long time ago? Ain't much you can do about crazy. There's just not much you can do. And when a situation is crazy as this is, You just can't let it eat at you. You just got to roll through it. That's what you roll through it.
So the whole move about announcing his transition team to come and that Chris Christie will be in charge. We had our producer Jeff Carlin look at this because none of us could remember a time when a presidential nominee had done this, and he said that no president has done this
in history
before being elected to the office, not becoming the nominee, but until they're elected, presidents wait until that moment to do that.
All right. Well, I think there are two parts to this. It's the transition as we traditionally know transition, which happens if you win in November. What I think, sort of piecing together conversations with various Trump folks is he's not talking about that transition. He's talking about transitioning the party for what it's about to go through and what's about to happen. He knows that there is a great deal of, folks sitting on the fence, but even more probably standing on a ledge, and then even more who probably don't want to participate at all. So he is looking as to how he can transition through all of that at the convention, after the convention, and into the fall campaign. So I think this was a dual view of what this transition. It wasn't a transition, let me get ready to set up my administration, which that's part of it, because it's beginning to identify various players who can be helpful, and they will get rolled out in due course and be a part of helping him get ready for the big debates, for example, in the fall with Hillary Clinton, and just sort of laying out markers for policy.
So in other words,
go ahead.
I interrupted that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, at least beginning that part of the process on the way to doing the doing the rest of it.
So, in other words, what he's saying is, I need someone to teach me how to do this along the way.
Yeah. I mean, and it's understandable. The guy's never held a government job. He's never run a government. He's run a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And corporations, and that's very different than dealing with the Department of Education and the Department of the Environment.
Mm-hmm. What happens when he finds that out? You were the former lieutenant governor of the state of Maryland. You've been an elected official. You've been a party, potentate. But you have you've seen this from all ends. You've dealt with this. What, Michael Steele? What? Is he going to be when he finds out when the Secretary of Education shows up or some union representative or any of the rest of the people that they're going to walk in there and go, no, this isn't you don't get to tell me what to do. I don't care if you're president of the United States or a general. What happens when the general shows up and says, are you an idiot? Then we're going to do it this way, because generals will say that to presidents. And you know that to be true.
They will. That's going to be tough for him. It's going to be tough. I mean, I look at guys like, Michael Bloomberg, who's mayor of New York, again, coming out of the business background, going into government. The back channel noise about his adjustment was, kept quiet, but it was an adjustment. These guys come in, they look at this thing through the prism that they know, which is, I'm the CEO of this, and this is how I run it. And when I ask you to do something, everyone in the room goes,
yeah, okay,
we make it happen. Yeah. In government, they're like, well, sir, you can't do that because, you know, yeah, when you open that door, that causes all these other doors to close.
All right, I'm going to play a piece of audio for you right here, and
sure.
This is something that Donald Trump today is walking back, but he said this yesterday, George Stephanopoulos. I'm sorry, Meet the Press. Oh my God, sorry, this is
wrong network.
Yes, mm-hmm. I get them all confused.
Wrong guy.
That's okay.
I come up with the biggest tax cut by far of any candidate, anybody, and I put it in, but that doesn't mean that's what we're going to get. We have to negotiate. The thing I'm going to do is make sure the middle class gets good tax breaks, because they have been absolutely shunned. The other thing, I'm going to fight very hard for business. For the wealthy, I think, frankly, it's going to go up. And you know what? It really should go up.
Okay. He forgot who he was, what the Republican base is all about. That is the sort of thing, because even though, you know, when you're talking about the top couple percent, you know, that doesn't account for a lot of votes, there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who don't like the idea of success being taxed.
True, but keep in mind a couple of things. One, remember when Donald Trump first answered that question, it was on the Today Show in between New York and the third or fourth Super Tuesday we had. We had all the Acela primary with Maryland, et cetera. And he was asked about that question, and his answer was, yes, I will raise taxes on the wealthy, including myself. All right.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after he said that the following week? Nothing, except he won, and he won big, and he won bigger than anyone thought he would. Two things. This is not about policy. This election has never been about policy. It's never been about ideology. You have the neocons who want to, you know, like Marco Rubio getting up and talking about the strategy of fighting ISIS. People didn't give a rat's patootie about that. That wasn't their concern. You had, you know, Jeb Bush trying to make an economic argument or an immigration argument. Again, policy, didn't care. Ideology, not my thing. This is a different approach that the voters that we've seen so far, the 10 million plus voters who have voted for Donald Trump so far within the public Republican primary,
okay,
have taken. It's a similar issue on the Democratic side with Bernie Sanders.
Right.
It's not driven by the things that you think normally would play here.
Yes, that is true. All right. But then this morning, Chris Cuomo, CNN, Trump sits down and then has to backtrack.
Chuck Todd understood that totally. And yet they released information like, I'm looking to increase the taxes. They will be getting a reduction. But the big reduction is going to be for business and for the middle class, because the middle class is being decimated in our country. So it was totally misrepresented just now by you, and it was misrepresented,
frankly, by
NBC.
Hold on,
actually, Chuck Todd, when I corrected him on the show, and he put it on, and yet they go then and talk about, like, I'm giving a tax increase for the wealthy. I'm not.
Well, those were his exact
How
words.
How does that
work? Yeah. The rich are going to pay
those
more.
Those were his exact words.
Yeah.
And what Donald Trump needs to stop doing, to be quite frank about it, is stick with what you say first, in essence, because he's said this. This isn't the first time he said this. He said this numerous times throughout the campaign. It is, again, not something that is a negative in this cycle, because a lot of Republican voters have the same issues with Wall Street that a lot of liberal or conservative or progressive voters have with Wall Street. They also have a problem with big money playing in the game the way they have. And they also don't mind that the wealthy 1% carry a little bit more of their share of the burden. So, you have this sort of dichotomy or divergent views within the party, for sure. But Donald Trump has his finger on, I think, a pulse that others don't. And he just needs to get comfortable with that. He gets frightened off of those positions after the fact, because people start screaming, oh, my God, you know, the base and the. But his instincts have been fairly good. Again, I go back to the example. When he said this in between those two elections, he didn't pay a penalty among conservatives for saying that he wanted to raise taxes on wealthy individuals like himself.
Okay, now, what about this Bill Clinton stuff? Where he's going, Bill
Clinton? Yeah, that's what's shocking. He's really up the rhetoric there. All weekend long at his rallies and interviews about how he's the worst abuser and she was an enabler. And she's not stooping at this point.
Listen to this.
Nobody in this country, and maybe in the history of the country politically, was worse than Bill Clinton with women. He was a disaster. Hillary Clinton's husband abused women more than any man that we know of in the history of politics, right? She's married to a man who was the worst abuser of women in the history of politics. She's married to a man who hurt many women. And Hillary, if you look and see, study, Hillary hurt many women.
Okay.
Warren Harding might disagree, but that's all right. We'll set that aside
Don't
for
bring
now.
Him up for
Don't
the
bring
moment.
Him up.
I will go back to something I've said going back to before I was chairman, and that is if any Republican, Donald Trump included, intends to prosecute this campaign by going after Hillary Clinton circa 1992, don't waste your time. Again, this is not that election. A, she's not that person anymore. She's someone very, very different. She's a very competent, capable former diplomat, former elected official, and who brings in her own right a good A game. So, you know, we can put our head in the sand and think that, you know, this is all going to be about, you know, rehashing Bill Clinton and his infidelities with her. You know, trying to explain or excuse them. That's just not how this is going to work out, and it doesn't get you anywhere. But here's the other point that I find interesting in what Donald Trump is doing here, and I don't think it will work yet. This is drawing out folks to talk about this. In other words, surrogates, especially Bill Clinton. And I think that that's what he's doing. He's setting up a bank shot, not really caring to get Hillary to respond, but getting others in her orbit, but more specifically her husband. And that will be interesting to see if he takes the bait on that, because he did once before, as we saw.
Well, okay, I just want to say one thing, and then we got to go. I just want you to remember one. You will remember this quite well, Michael Steele, who I do not. I'm never going to ask you who you're going to support in this, and I don't ever want you to say it to me personally. I don't care, because if it is Donald Trump, I still want to be your best friend. But I don't know. You know, I mean, we're professional and personal friends, and I just want to be able to keep it like that, man. But here's the thing. Bill Clinton, remember when they impeached him for lying about Monica Lewinsky, and they went after him on the Monica Lewinsky thing, and then what happened? We went through two speakers of the House. We went through a number of Republican leadership because they all had zipper problems too. Right?
Sure.
Right. So I wonder, is Donald Trump really ready to go down this road, even though philandering is not an issue with him, right? Because, you know, people know that he's a philanderer, but maybe if the pressure's on his family, if there's all of a sudden stuff comes out that maybe his family doesn't know, that becomes the leverage point. And that's the sort of thing the Clintons
cares.
Are good at.
I don't think they
really,
care.
If Melania finds out that he's, you know,
I don't think he cares.
Back with the boom, boom, boom guy?
All that's all baked into his narrative. I think his family knows pretty much. Guy's been pretty open about it. All this stuff is played out in the tabloids. He's written about it. He's talked about it. He's not
he boasted about it.
Anna's right. He's boasted about it. So I don't think he's going to be concerned about that. That's what he took this on head on when Hillary floated it the first time 3 months ago and shot it down. Why? Mm-hmm. Because Bill got drawn out and started to play, and they pulled him back, and the issue went away. So he's preempting. He's saying, okay, you want to bring up my relationship with women? You want to talk about how they hate me and negative all? Well, let's have that conversation. Oh, by the way, let's talk about your husband, too. And he's prepared to do that. That's the kind of campaign this is going to be, potentially, unfortunately.
It's good for ratings. Thank you very much, Michael Steele.
Thanks,
Thank
Michael
you. Appreciate
Steele.
It.
Hey, guys, I'll talk to you. I'm going to be in Chicago, so I'll let you know. Maybe we can have some face-to-face fun. Yeah.
Yes, face-to-face time, right. That's exactly right. And again, we will just not talk about politics like the family now. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Bye, guys. Be good.
Bye.
Bye, Michael.